Yeah, we are going to learn one of the small works of Shankara. The work is titled Aparoksha Anubhuti. So the meaning of the title is Aparoksha Anubhuti. Anubhuti means experience, Aparoksha means direct or intuitive experience of one's own self. So it's Aparoksha Anubhavam. So this is a work where Shankara takes a seeker from the initial level, a sadhaka who has just begun the spiritual path, and takes him to the level of Aparoksha Anubhavam. Aparoksha Anubhavam is what is called moksham or Brahma Jnanam or Jivan Mukti. So when a person completes learning this work of Aparoksha Anubhuti, then he will be capable to contemplate on it and thereby reach the state of Aparoksha Anubhavam. And since this work leads us to Aparoksha Anubhavam, most of the works or the scriptures can give us only Paroksha Anubhavam or indirect knowledge, because those are the words of the Guru or the Mahatmas or Rishis who wrote them. But this work claims that it will take us to a state of Aparoksha Anubhavam. Aparoksha Anubhavam is impossible without Nididhyasanam, contemplation or Anusandhanam. So this means this work is one of the work through which a person can realize his own self by doing contemplation. So Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam of the work, of the content of the work, as well as the shlokas, repetition, would help a person to gain Aparoksha Anubhavam. Though initial part of the work, Shankara deals with like sadhana chatushtayam and other things to prove what is the Atman and what is Anatman. But later in the work, we will see that Shankara gives a lot of logic as well as means verses for direct experience of the self. That means verses for contemplation. So those are verses which don't really explain things from a logical perspective, because logical analysis is required for mananatmaka work or work which help in mananam, removal of samshayam, removal of doubts, not exactly doubt but removal of asambhavanam. It means like impossibility. This has been explained in Moksha Siddhi, you can go through that. But most of the works are mananatmakam, means they give logic, but few of the works like Nirvana Shatkam, Gurvashtakam, Maya Panchakam, etc. Those are works which are contemplative in nature. Means like a person need to just first understand the meaning and just repeat in mind. He has to do repetition of the work, Anusandhanam of the work, Nididhyasanam of the work, in order to gain the fruit of the work. So it's very clear that the goal or the fruit that is to be achieved through this work is Aparoksha Anubhuti or Aparoksha Anubhavam. We'll see that any work, any scriptural work or work based on the scriptures will have something called Anubandha Chatushtayam. Means while starting a work, Anubandha means introductory kind of thing. So when starting a work, a person has to explain four things. It's called Anubandha Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means four. Anubandham means like introduction or starting. So those are, the first is Adhikari. So Adhikari is a person who has to learn this work, who is supposed to learn this work, who is eligible to learn the work. The second is Adhikari Vishayam. Vishayam means the subject matter of the work. The third is Sambandham. Sambandham is the relation between, ideally like the third one we can say is Prayojanam. Prayojanam means like it's the fruit that a person gets out of it. And then the last one is Sambandham. Sambandham is the relation between the Vishayam and the Prayojanam. That means if a person goes through this work, learning of this work, the subject matter, he knows, then he will get the Prayojanam. So the relationship between the Vishayam as well as Prayojanam is called Sambandham. So these four anubandha chatushtayam are to be explained at the starting of any work. So that by just going through that particular verse where that is mentioned, a person can get to know whether that work is suitable for him or not. So as the name itself suggests, the prayojanam of this work is aparokshanubhavam. Shankara in the second shloka explains the anubandha chatushtayam. In the first shloka, traditionally any work has to be started by offering prostrations to both Ishvara as well as Guru. So that is what Shankara as well. Shankara is a strict traditional follower, therefore he also follows the same in the first shloka. And just for information, this work consists of 144 shlokas in total. There are no parts or chapters of the work, it's a total work, but we can split into parts. Logical chapter splitting we can do ourselves if required. So in the very first shloka, Shankara enters into the Ishvara or Guru Vandanam. So it goes like this. Sriharim Paramanandam Upadeshtaram Ishwaram Vyapakam Sarvalokanam Karanam Tam Namamyaham. So Shankara starts the work by offering prostration to Ishwara in the form of Vishnu or Srihari. So Sriharim Paramanandam. So Srihari, who is Paramanandam, who is of the nature of supreme bliss, Upadeshtaram Ishwaram. Ishwaram, who is the Ishvara, who is the controller. So Srihari, who is Paramanandam, as well as who is Upadeshtaram. Upadeshta means one who gives Upadesham, that means teacher. So I offer my prostration. Shankara starts by explaining about Hari or Vishnu as Ishvara. He is Sri Hari. So Hari word can mean Vishnu, or it can also mean a person like Harim, Harati iti Haraha or Harihi. So is a person who destroys Harati, who destroys the sin, who destroys the passion, who destroys the faults in a person. That is why he is called Hari, or both Hara, both meaning have the same meaning. Though Haraha meaning can be directly meant as destroying, Hari meaning can mean destroy as well as a person who steals the heart. But here it's, we can take the meaning of destroyer of evil. So Hari or destroyer of evil, Paramanandam, who is of the nature of supreme bliss, Upadeshtaram, who is a guru teacher, Ishwaram. Ishvara, the mean word meaning of Ishvara is like a person who controls the world, controller of the world. Vyapakam Sarvalokanam, he is like the Vyapakam Sarvalokanam, one who pervades the entire world. So one who is pervasive, all pervasive, and Sarvalokanam Karanam, so he is the cause of all beings that we see. Tam namami aham tam namami, I offer my prostration to such an Ishvara. So Srihari, I offer my prostration to that person who destroys evils, who is supreme blissful in nature, who is the teacher, who gives instructions, who controls the world, who is all pervasive, and who is the cause of the entire world. Cause of the world, he is not the real cause of the world, but he is a substratum of the world. Cause, any cause, like the cause effect theory, like if you have gone through Satya Darshanam, or if you haven't, like just go through it, you will understand that cause effect theory. Vedanta doesn't really accept cause effect theory. Vedanta accepts cause effect theory if the cause is a substratum. That is because the world is an illusion. Any cause, if it, an effect has to be created out of a cause, then the cause has to be changing. But Ishvara or Brahman is changeless because it is eternal. since it is eternal and changeless, therefore it has to be not just a cause, but it has to be the substratum. Any substratum, let's take the example of snake seen in rope. So the snake is actually not created from the rope, but still when a person sees the rope, when a person is perceiving the rope, then the rope is created out of the cause of snake. So empirically, when a person is in ignorance, then rope is the cause. But once a person comes out of ignorance, then he realizes that rope was never the cause, but it was a substratum in which snake was seen. So similarly, Ishvara is sarvalokanam karanam. He is the cause of the entire world, cause of all beings. But he is not the real cause. He is the substratum. Empirical cause, when a person is ignorant, he is the cause. When a person goes beyond the empirical reality and understands the ultimate reality, then he realizes that Ishvara is the substratum and not the cause. And like any shloka, while explaining any Mangala shloka or the shloka meant for bestowing auspiciousness for a particular work or whenever something is started, it has to offer prostrations to not just Ishvara but one's own guru, because without a guru there is nothing. So na guru radhikam bhavam na guru radhikam tapaha tatva jnana param nasti tasmai shri gurave namaha. There is nothing greater than the guru, there is no austerity greater than the guru. Therefore, like we can say that Shankara's guru was Govindapada. So Hari, by using the word Hari, Shankara is indirectly prostrating Govinda as well. How can we say it is Govinda Ananda that Shankara is prostrating? That is why he uses the word Parama Anandam. Sri Hari stands for Govinda, Parama Anandam stands for Anandam. That is who was Govindananda, Govindananda Pada, that was Shankaracharya's guru. Therefore Shankara is in this shloka prostrating Ishvara. Ishvara as not the Namarupa Yukta Ishvara, but Ishvara as Namarupa Vivarjita Nirguna Parabrahman, because he says Parama Anandam, he says, as well as he says Vyapakam, he also uses Sarva Lokanam Karanam. Therefore, what he is pointing, he is not prostrating a particular Ishvara, not Vishnu or Shiva or Brahma, but he is indirectly prostrating Nirguna Parabrahman as well as his own guru. So Brahma, again we can also say that it is Shankara's like intellectual knowledge and insight, which is why the reason why he has summarized the entire work in this shloka by prostrating to the import of all the scriptures, which is Brahman. So a nature of Brahman, which is none other than our own nature, that has been prostrated by Shankara, that has been explained very briefly yet beautifully by Shankara. So like after prostrating, after doing Mangalacharanam, after the Mangala shloka, then as I said, like any work has to explain about Anubandha Chatushtayam. So Shankara in the next shloka explains the Anubandha Chatushtayam for this work. So that is that the shloka goes like this. Aparokshanubhutilvai prochyate brahmoksha siddhaye sadbireva prayatnena vikshaniya muhurmuhu. Aparokshanubhutihi vai prochyate moksha siddhaye. Aparokshanubhuti or the way to aparokshanubhuti vai prochyate has been explained here. Why it has been explained? Why aparokshanubhuti has been explained, or the way to aparokshanubhuti has been explained? Moksha siddhaye, in order for a person to gain liberation. For a person to gain moksha, he has to get aparokshanubhuti. Therefore, aparokshanubhuti and the means to aparokshanubhuti, the way to aparokshanubhuti, has been explained in this world, because only a person who gains aparoksha anubhuti has gained moksha. So moksha is nothing but aparoksha anubhavam. Therefore aparoksha anubhuti has been explained. And who has to learn it then, or for whom it has been mentioned? Sadbireva prayatnena sadbihi. Sadbihi means people who are pure in their heart. Sat are people who are pure in their heart, who seek sat, who seek the ultimate reality of Brahman, who seek happiness, who seek bliss, who are in the spiritual path, spiritual sadhaka, sadbihi. So sadbihi eva, by sadbi alone, prayatnena, by effort, by putting effort, vikshaniya, they have to analyze it, they have to learn it. Is just one learning enough? So Shankara says, muhur muhuhu. Muhuhu muhuhu means again and again. So, like, aparokshanubhuti and its means have been explained in this work, because that alone will lead a person to liberation. Liberation is, though we can say that liberation, here Shankara might try to point out that liberation is different from aparokshanubhuti, the direct meaning, but it's not that way. So moksham is aparokshanubhavam, so moksha siddhi can happen through aparokshanubhavam alone. Therefore aparokshanubhavam has been explained in this work. And people who are pure, people who seek sat, who want bliss, who are in the spiritual path, who want moksha, they have to, with effort, they have to analyze and contemplate on it again and again. So one of the way of learning the scriptures is again and again going through things until it becomes clear. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter of Shvetaketu Brahmanam, where Uddalaka teaches Shvetaketu, Uddalaka instructs Shvetaketu by telling that Tattvamasi, or you are that. That is what Uddalaka, the father of Uddalaka, teaches his son Shvetaketu. But he doesn't teach it for just for one time. He gives 9 logic and mentions 9 times that Tattvamasi, Saatma Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. So that is what he says. So that means abhyasam or repetition is essential for making or for a person to understand. So as long as a person doesn't realize the Atman, he has to again and again contemplate, again and again do the process of Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam until it becomes clear. So he has to go on doing the process. So that is what Shankara says. So as per the scriptures, some people, depending on one's own mental state, a person might realize in just one hearing, and another person might realize only after 10 or 100 hearings. So it depends. So a person has to go on doing it until he realizes. So that is the second shloka which Shankara says. So let's now see as to how Shankara points out, or what are the Anubandha Chatushtayam that Shankara is pointing out in this shloka. So the first is Adhikari. So who is the Adhikari here? Sadbihi. Sadbireva prayatnena. Sadbihi. Or people who are pure in heart, people who are seeking sat, and the people who are always engaged in satsanga, who seek Brahman, who seek moksha, they are the Adhikari. So this work is meant for people who seek the reality, and such a people, when they, with effort, they analyze and contemplate it again and again, they realize Brahman. So the Adhikari, or the person eligible to learn this work, is Sadbihi, any person who is seeking Brahman, who is seeking bliss, who is seeking moksha. So Adhikari is over Vishayam. What is the subject matter of this work? Aparokshanubhuti vai prochyate. Aparokshanubhuti. Aparokshanubhuti or aparokshanubhavam, and the way to get aparokshanubhavam through constant contemplation of this work is the Vishayam, is the subject matter of this work. So the subject matter of this work is aparokshanubhavam. Though the subject matter of all scriptures is Brahman alone, or Advitiya Brahman alone, but still many works deal with a particular topic in the spiritual path. Like Drik Drishya Viveka speaks about the relationship between Drik and Drishya. Vakya Vritti speaks about speaks about or is an exposition on the Mahavakyas, Tattvamasi, and other Mahavakyas as to how they are interpreted. Similarly, like Aparokshanubhuti is a work, all works have Brahman as their import, main subject matter, but here the subject matter is Aparokshanubhavam of Brahman. So that is the Vishayam here. And then what is the Prayojanam? Prayojanam is Moksha Siddhaye. Prayojanam is Moksham. So once a person gains Aparokshanubhavam, then he has attained Moksha. He has attained Jivan Mukti or liberated while living. So that is the Prayojanam. What is Sambandham, relation between Vishayam and Prayojanam? When the Vishayam of Aparokshanubhuti is known, has been achieved, has been learnt, then Moksham is attained. So that's why for Moksha Siddhaye, in order for a person to get Moksha, Aparokshanubhuti has been explained. So the Sambandham, relation between Vishayam and Prayojanam, is when the Vishayam of Aparokshanubhavam or Aparokshanubhuti happens. Aparokshanubhuti means experience of Aparokshanubhavam. So when Aparokshanubhavam or experience of Aparokshanubhavam happens, then a person gains the fruit of Moksham. That is the relationship, that is Sambandham. So Shankara, through this verse, has explained the Anubandha Chatushtayam in a crisp way, thus like giving a clear idea of whom this work is meant to, what is the main subject matter of this work, as well as like how a person has to realize. So a person has to realize, or a person has to realize Brahman or gain Moksha by Aparokshanubhavam. Aparokshanubhavam can be achieved or attained by again and again contemplating on this work. Vikshaniya muhurmuhu. So it is not mere Vikshaniya, it's not mere contemplation. Vikshanam means, Vikshanam is not exactly contemplation. Vikshanam means analysis and thoroughly going through. But prayatnena, with effort, because we have a lot of obstacles, we'll have lot of samshayam and viparyayam. Samshayam is doubts, viparyayam is contrary knowledge. So a person has to overcome all the passions of the mind in order to reach the goal of moksham through vikshanam, and therefore prayatnam is essential or required. So just a few words about Aparokshanubhavam. Vidyaranya beautifully explains in Panchadashi through the analysis of the 10 fools, the story of 10 fools, as to the spiritual path in 7 steps. Vidyaranya puts them into 7 steps, 7 simultaneous or progressive step, the path of a spiritual seeker. So it's worthwhile to understand or know it, though it's not directly related to this work, but there is, Vidyaranya explains this particular Aparokshanubhavam as one of the steps. And it's always good to know where we stand. So the story of 10 fools, as we know, everybody knows, the story goes that there were once 10 fools who were going to a particular place. Traditionally, it is also considered that the 10 fools had a guru, and they were going, like the guru had instructed them to go somewhere, therefore they were going, they crossed a river. At that time, like once they crossed the river, they got a doubt as to whether everybody reached safely, everybody had crossed the river safely, or whether somebody was drowned. So they didn't know what to do. Then one person said, okay, I know, we can count. So we were 10 before when we started, and when we reach the river as well, so we should be 10 now. If we are 10, then everybody is safe, else everybody is not safe, somebody has been lost. So one person started counting. He counted 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9. There it ended. So the count came only to 9. People started shouting and screaming. Why? Because the person forgot to count himself. Then another person counted. He also found the same, therefore they all started weeping, crying and weeping. At that time, a person was passing by. He felt compassionate enough, therefore he asked them what was the problem, and they said, like, when we crossed the river, when we were before crossing the river, we were 10, but now we are only 9. The person With just a glance, he found that there were 10 people, and he found out the issue as to why they could count only 9. Then he said, okay, the person who had initially, the out of the 10 fools, the fool who had counted, he told him, the passerby asked him to count again. So that person counted till 9 again. Then the passerby said, you are the 10th person. Then the fool who counted, he realized, he found out that, oh yes, I am the 10th. Then they all, like, their sorrow vanished and they all became very happy. So that is the story of the 10 fools. Vidyaranya beautifully relates it to 7 steps in a spiritual seeker's life. The first step is ajnanam, or ignorance. So, like, these 10 fools were ignorant of their own nature, ignorant that the 10th person was alive. That ignorance led to avaranam, or veiling of the truth. So the ignorance that I am the 10th person led to veiling of the 10th person, and that veiling led to vikshepam, led to projection, the projection that the 10th person was dead. So avaranam means like veiling, and vikshepam means projecting something over the same thing. So it's like telling that when we see a rope, when we don't apprehend the rope, that is veiling or non-apprehension of the rope, and when we don't apprehend the rope, we superimpose the snake on the rope. That is what is called vikshepam, or multitude, duality causing duality. So avaranam is veiling of the non-dual, vikshepam is that non-dual becoming dual, or so duality superimposed on the non-duality. But here, ajnanam is ignorance. The person was ignorant about that he is alive. So that veiled his nature, that veiled the truth that he was alive, which in turn made them believe that he was dead. The 10th person was dead. That is vikshepam. Then a passerby came by and told, made him count, made the fool count, and said that you are the 10th. So you are the 10th. The teaching from the guru that tattvamasi, you are that. That is what is the fourth step of aparokshanubhavam. The first three steps are steps of ignorance. The last four steps are steps of in the spiritual path. Like it's this what we can call as knowledge, and the other is ajnanam. So parokshanubhavam, the guru says, you are that, you are the 10th. So that is parokshanubhavam. That is paroksham. Paraksham means other I. Others I, that means indirect knowledge. It's not a direct knowledge. Somebody is telling you that you are that. And then what does the person, the fool, do? He realizes, he counts and he realizes that I am the 10th. Yes. So that is aparokshanubhavam. He knows. When the guru says tattvamasi, that is parokshanubhavam. And then the next step, fifth step, is the disciple realizes that, yes, I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. That is aparokshanubhavam. And when aparokshanubhavam happens, then the next step is dukkha nivritti. Dukkha vanishes. So when the person, when the passerby said, you are the 10th man, and then the 10th person, the fool, realized, I am the 10th, then his sorrow vanished. Their entire sorrow, the crying of the people stopped. That is dukkha nivritti. Dukkha vanishes. That is the sixth step. And then the last step is what? When dukkham vanishes, they all become happy. So that is sukha prapti, or anandam. So once a person gains aparokshanubhavam, then dukkham gets completely removed and sukham ensues. So aparokshanubhavam can happen only after parokshanubhavam. Somebody who knows it tells you the truth. So that parokshanubhavam is also achieved through this work, where Shankara would explain clearly that we are the self. I am the self. Everybody is the self. When a person knows I am the self, he hears from the guru that I am the self, or you are the self, then the person realizes that I am the self, then dukkham vanishes and sukham is achieved. So aparokshanubhavam, so is the fifth step that Vidyaranya says. So aparokshanubhavam is the subject matter of this work, through which a person gets moksha, a person gets dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti, sukham or anandam, or moksham ensues. So after explaining, after doing Mangalacharanam and then explaining the Anubandha Chatushtayam of the work, Shankara enters into the work. So, though the Adhikari is a person who has purity of mind, what is the real Adhikari? So Adhikari, or a person who will really benefit out of the work, that is what Shankara starts in the third shloka. So the Shankara says, Swavarnashrama dharmena tapasa haritoshanat sadhanam prabhavet pumsam vairagyadi chatushtayam. So Shankara says, sadhanam vairagyadi chatushtayam sadhanam prabhavet pumsam. Pumsam, by a person, by human beings, by a man, by a person, vairagyadi sadhanam chatushtayam, the sadhana chatushtayam, or the four preliminary, the four preliminary qualities which are essential for a sadhaka, starting with vairagyam, dispassion, etc., prabhavet, can be achieved by Swavarna Ashrama Dharmena, by following the duties of one's own dharma, one's own ashrama dharma, whatever smriti or the words of Mahatmas, the words of people explain as to like what a person has to do. So as the activities ordained for a person according to his ashrama dharmam, that has to be done. And tapasa, by austerity, as well as haritoshanat, by prostrating to Ishvara. So Shankara here first says that, starts explaining about how a person can gain vairagyadi sadhana chatushtayam. So a person can achieve sadhana chatushtayam. So that means, until a person gains sadhana chatushtayam, he cannot apprehend the reality. So, Shankara himself says in many other works about sadhana chatushtayam. So, in Viveka Chudamani he says, sadhananyatra chatvari kaditani manishibhi yeshu satsveva sannishta yadabhave na siddhyati. So, sadhananyatra chatvari kaditani manishibhi, the four preliminary qualities for a sadhaka that has been explained by seers, by Mahatmas. Yeshu satsveva sannishta yadabhavena siddhyati. So when a person follows it, then he is in the spiritual path. He said he can apprehend the truth. Yet abhavena siddhyati, when those are absent, then siddhi, moksha siddhi will not happen. So that means, it doesn't mean that a person who is not, who doesn't have sadhana chatushtayam, who doesn't have the qualities, like the four qualities, preliminary qualities, he can't learn. If a person is perfect in sadhana chatushtayam, then when he hears from the Guru Tattvamasi, that moment itself he will realize. But most of the people don't realize when the Guru says Tattvamasi. So that means they have to again, and that's why Shankara himself said muhur muhu, again and again he has to do vikshanam. So that means, sadhana chatushtayam is not essential for learning, but it is essential for apprehending whatever we learn. We learn many things, but we apprehend very few of it. We go and listen to a discourse or a lecture of 1 hour, but we apprehend only 10 minutes or 20 minutes of what the person says. So learning is different from apprehending. So only when a person apprehends what is being learned, what is being taught, then only he will get the fruit. So if a person has to benefit out of learning, he has to apprehend it. That apprehension happens only because of sadhana chatushtayam. That means sadhana chatushtayam is essential for realizing, is essential for getting fruit out of one's learning. Whereas learning or gaining knowledge itself doesn't require sadhana chatushtayam. There are many philosophies like Sankhya system, this system, that system. All those Mahatmas, all those people have learned the scriptures. They have learned the Upanishads, they have learned the Brahma Sutra, they have learned Bhagavad Gita. Yet, they are not realized. That means, though they have learned, they are not realized. If they had sadhana chatushtayam, then when they had learned, they would have apprehended and realized. That means something was lacking. Since sadhana chatushtayam was lacking, they didn't realize. So just because sadhana chatushtayam was not there, we can't say that they didn't learn or they are not eligible to learn. Everybody is eligible to learn because it's our own like nature. One's own subhavam, one's own birthright to know, to realize self. Therefore, everybody is eligible to learn. But only a person who has sadhana chatushtayam is eligible to apprehend the truth. This is a very major difference. Like though Shankara's words in Viveka Chudamani might seem that a person who doesn't have sadhana chatushtayam cannot even learn. That is the very basic prerequisite for knowledge, for jnana prapti. But it is not for learning. Jnana prapti, jnanam means gaining knowledge, paroksha anubhavam. If a person has to understand what the guru says, then he has to have sadhana chatushtayam, he has to have purity of the mind. And that sadhana chatushtayam, a person will get sadhana chatushtayam when he does the threefold sadhana that Shankara gives here. What is the threefold sadhana? Swavarna ashrama dharma. That means doing one's own ordained activities. One's own ordained activities, activities or any type of karma has been prescribed in the smriti. The various types of smriti like Manu smriti, Yajnavalkya smriti, as well as in the various sutras like Apastamba sutram, depending on which gotram, which Veda a person falls. So in short, for one doing one's own activity is like doing whatever is necessary for living, doing whatever is necessary for earning money, sustenance of one's own life. Sustenance of one's own life is essential in order to proceed in the spiritual path. Unless we sustain life, our life is sustained, we won't be able to realize. Therefore, the activities that are required, that are essential for sustenance of life is what is called Swarvarna Ashrama Dharma. So that we have to do. Without that, we will not be able to realize. So that is the first thing. Then tapas, a person has to do sadhana. Tapas is austerities in the form of chanting, japam, dhyanam, etc. So those are the second activity that Shankara says, sadhana that Shankara says. And the last is devotion towards Ishvara. Offering is to Ishvara. So Swavarna Ashrama Dharmam and Haritoshanad are offering to Ishvara. We can say that Ishvara Arpitam Naichaya Kratam Chitta Shodakam Mukti Sadakam Kaya Vangmana Karya Muttamam Pujanam Japas Chintanam Krama. That is what is called. And the Kaya Vangmana, that shloka of Ramana emphasizes on tapas as well. So there all these three of offering to Ishvara, being devoted to Ishvara, tapas or austerity of towards purifying the mind and doing one's own activity, that becomes income, that has been clearly or briefly explained by Ramana in Kaya Vangmana Karya Muttamam Pujanam Japah Chintanam Kramat, all those three. So a person will be able to get sadhana chatushtayam starting with Vairagya etc. once he does these, the threefold sadhana of doing one's own activities, then offering it to Ishvara or being devoted to Ishvara, and doing tapas like puja, japa and all those things. So after explaining that a person has to gain sadhana chatushtayam, that means without sadhana chatushtayam a person will not be able to apprehend the truth. So he will not be able to benefit from jnana, and that sadhana chatushtayam, for that, like before attaining that, a person has to have Suvarna Ashrama Dharma as well as tapas as well as devotion to Ishvara. So the first step for a seeker is to have these three, like do one's own activities, then do tapas and be devoted to Ishvara. That would lead him to gaining sadhana chatushtayam. Once a person gains sadhana chatushtayam, then He's eligible for knowledge, eligible for gaining knowledge. That means the moment he learns, he will grasp knowledge, he will apprehend knowledge. Therefore, the next step, Shankara has explained that sadhana chatushtayam will be achieved through these three steps. So next Shankara enters into each of the sadhana chatushtayam, or the four preliminary qualities or qualifications for knowledge. So of the first one is Vairagyam. Though in other works like Viveka Chudamani, Shankara explains Vivekam first. Here Shankara explains Vairagyam. It's not different. So before we enter into the next shloka which explains Vairagyam, sadhana chatushtayam, the four are Vivekam. Vivekam is like, in short, discrimination between real and unreal, what is real and what is unreal. Then Vairagyam, or dispassion towards worldly entity, which is indirectly related to passion or being passionate towards the reality of Brahman. And the third is Shamadi Shatka Sampatti, or the six qualities of the mind, starting with Shama, calmness of the mind, Dhamma, etc. And then the last one is Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam is, in Chinmaya's beautiful words, Mumukshutvam is burning desire for liberation. So all these four are essential or required in order for a person to apprehend knowledge. So if a person wants to judge where he stands in the spiritual path or in the way to gain knowledge, then he just needs to analyze the sadhana chatushtayam and find out how many he has and to which extent he has. If a person has sadhana chatushtayam fully, perfectly, then the very next moment he will realize. Because for a person who has sadhana chatushtayam, knowledge will automatically come. The guru will give knowledge to such a person. And when the guru gives knowledge, that very moment the disciple or the person will apprehend it. Therefore, he will become realized. So Shankara enters into explanation of each of those the sadhana chatushtayam in brief. So since Shankara said Vairagya adi sadhana chatushtayam, so he starts with Vairagyam in the fourth shloka. Brahmadi sthavaranteshu Vairagyam visheshvanu yataiva kakavishtayam Vairagyam tadinirmalam. So Vairagya is generally translated as dispassion, but even Amma says like Vairagyam is not exactly Virakti. Virakti is when a person falls under bad circumstance, bad environment, thereby he becomes dispassionate towards the world. For example, when one's beloved dies, then a person gains virakti towards the world. That virakti is not real vairagyam. That is not vairagyam, because vairagyam arises out of knowledge, whereas virakti arises out of situation or surroundings or environment. So that we can say virakti is when some external entity, external situation causes a person to become dispassionate towards the world. That is always temporary. When one's beloved dies, the first few years he will be dispassionate towards the world. Then, as we see in the West, he will go after another person. So time heals virakti, whereas time doesn't heal vairagyam, because vairagyam is based on knowledge. So what is vairagyam? Brahmadi sthavaranteshu vairagyam visheshvanu. So vairagyam or dispassion, Shankara here defines that vairagyam, that pure vairagyam, which is part of sadhana chatushtayam and which helps a person to realize. So taddi nirmalam, tadhi nirmalam, that alone is pure. What that vairagyam alone is pure or real vairagyam. What is that vairagyam? Brahma adi sthavaranteshu visheshvanu vairagyam. Dispassion from everything starting from Brahma. Everything starting from Brahma to things which we see in this world. So all vishayas starting from Brahma. So the ideal analogy or the ideal way it is explained as in Viveka Chudamani, starting from Brahma till a amoeba. So Balakrishnan Nair uses that logic, or bacteria we can say. Bacteria or amoeba is the smallest in the object that we can find out, that we can say, and Brahma is the biggest or largest object that we can see. So dispassion towards the biggest of the big, Brahma, as well as the smallest of smallest, amoeba. Dispassion towards it. Dispassion means not interested. Why not interested? Yata eva kakavishtayam vairagyam. As the vairagyam that a person has towards Brahma, starting from Brahma till as the smallest entity of my bacteria or amoeba, which is similar to the vairagyam a person has towards kakavishta. Kakavishta means the crow's excreta, the excreta of a crow. So we are totally dispassionate towards crow's excreta because it doesn't have any fruit. It doesn't serve any purpose to us. It only does bad thing for us. So the vairagyam that a person has towards everything in the world, similar to the vairagyam a person has towards kakavishta, yata eva kakavishtayam, even as in a vairagya, that vairagyam is pure. So when a person gains vairagyam towards all the entities, even as a normal worldly person gains vairagyam towards kakavishta, that vairagyam is nirmalam. Kakavishta, towards kakavishta, we are not attracted towards kakavishta because we know that it's not good for anything, as well as it is bad, it smells bad, it touches bad and all. So in order for a person to get vairagyam, he needs to find out the fault in the entity starting from Brahma. Unless a person we don't put our hand into fire, because we know the fault of putting our hand into fire. The dosham that will arise, the dosham in our putting our hand into fire, because it will burn our hand. So dosha drishti towards the world, towards all entities of world, even as dosha drishti, we have a dosha drishti towards kakavishta, that will make us get pure dispassion. So we are dispassionate towards fire, touching fire, because it will only burn us. So the dosha drishti causes us to be dispassionate towards fire. Similarly, dosha drishti towards the entities of the world. So what is the dosha drishti towards the world? Krishna encompasses that in two words: anityam asukam lokam. The lokam, the world, or the entity, our experience realm, is anityam. It is temporary. It's not eternal. Therefore, asukam. Asukam, it is not, it doesn't give us happiness, but it gives us sorrow. So dosha drishti is knowing that the world is anityam and asukam, knowing that the world is temporary, is short-lived and sorrowful. So that dosha drishti towards the world, towards the entire world, will help in creating vairagyam towards the world. In other words, we can also say that knowing that the world is unreal, or jagat is mithya, will help us in gaining vairagyam. So that is what is called as vivekam. So vivekam is discrimination between real and unreal. Vivekam is knowing that the Brahman is real and the world is unreal. So that which is unreal or anityam is sorrowful. So world is sorrowful. Since world is sorrowful, we'll be dispassionate towards the world. That is dispassion towards the world. As we have already learned, there are two types of vairagyam. One is apara vairagyam and one is para vairagyam. Apara is the lower type of dispassion and para vairagyam is the higher type of vairagyam. Apara vairagyam is when a person is dispassionate towards the world. He knows that the world is sorrowful, therefore he gains dispassion towards the world. That is jagan mithya. So when vivekam arises, a person knows that Brahman is only real and jagat is mithya. So jagan mithya, when a person concentrates on jagan mithya, then he gains dispassion towards the world. That is apara vairagyam. But when a person concentrates on Brahma satyam, on the reality of Brahman, then he becomes passionate towards Brahman. When he becomes passionate towards Brahman, when you are passionate, when a person is passionate towards something, he gains this passion or indifferent towards other entities. A person who is attracted towards a particular actor, let's say Rajinikanth, such a person will develop this passion or indifference towards Kamala Hassan because he is attracted to Rajinikanth. So, when a person gains passion towards Brahman, that directly makes him dispassionate towards the world. So, being passionate towards the reality is what scriptures call as paravairagyam, that is supreme devotion. That is real devotion because that in turn will cause a person to have aparavairagyam. Whereas if a person has aparavairagyam, that doesn't ensure paravairagyam. So, when a person has vivekam, though Shankara here explains vairagyam first and then vivekam, all other work he explains vivekam and then vairagyam. So vivekam is knowing that Brahman is real and Jagat is unreal. And this vivekam, this discrimination, makes a person gain aparavairagyam towards the world and paravairagyam towards Brahman. So that makes him create real dispassion. So the pure vairagyam is being dispassionate towards the world. In a way, we are dispassionate towards Karkavishta. So with this, a person can really identify as to whether he is really dispassionate towards the world, how much dispassion he has. So dispassion can also mean indifference, means unaffected by it, unaffected by the environment surroundings. So let's say my laptop gets, or the current goes in the house. So the moment if a current goes, a person starts screaming, "I am watching a movie, it's stopped in between." That means he is affected by power cut, and he is affected by entities of the world, which means he doesn't have dispassion. If he had dispassion, then he'll be indifferent and won't be attached towards watching TV or towards power itself, even as he sees Kakavishta. So in that way, like, we can judge whether we are really capable or whether we have really attained this sadhana chatushtayam of vairagyam to perfection. When vairagyam becomes perfect, then that in turn directly makes us apprehend knowledge and therefore makes us realized. So similar way, like, we can also judge ourselves by the other sadhana chatushtayam as to where we stand. So we'll stop here for the day.